Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
The position of blessing and God constantly blessing people. But the same God that told Joseph to go and save is the same God that opened the windows in the wilderness. If you have a pattern of God that, don't worry, anything God will keep funding, you have not yet, you might still have a long way to go. Can I remember when God said to me, just slept, and I had a dream, and God said to me clearly, in the dream said, look for a school for your daughter in a certain area. My daughter was going to a private school, and he said, it's time to cut down. We had two cars then. So I woke up to my wife. God said, it's time to cut down. I said, but what kind of, no, my God is a God of prosperity. I said, I know. I said, but God said, it is time to downsize. So we sold one car. We moved our daughter from a school, from a private school, going to a Christian school, more probably. Ask God to just do it, and things like that. In fact, we went to, Virgin, this one, what are we using, we began to cut everything down, and things like that. So my dad came around, so I was talking to the helper daddy, and I told him, I said, God said I should cut down. He said, then you have to. Because you don't know what is ahead of you. And things like that. And lo and behold, about a period of time, about a few months after that, my wife lost her job. So, we would have been praying, starting prayer to go, God, you know that? He would have said, no, I told you to cut down. That period was hard, but it was easier for us, and we sailed through that period. Then I understood that later was God said, see, you need to understand, at times I will tell you, I could have told Joseph, don't worry, I will open the windows so that they will keep having, but there's a season I will tell you, cut down your finances. So when God is saying, it is time to adjust your finances, it is important that you listen. I to listen. Does that make sense? And one of the things also that God said is that there will be a need on the ground, on the land, and he wants his people to be able to give. So at times when God wants you to be able to give, one thing he also tells you is that you need to learn to adjust yourself. Because out of that which God has given you, God has not given you all that God has given is not yours alone. It is for other people that need. He has added their own into what he has given. So he expects that in the one that you have. Let's go to Leviticus, please. Leviticus chapter 22. The Bible says, when you reap the harvest of your land, not the land of other people, your whole land. He said, do not reap the very edges of your field, or gather the grains of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigners residing among you. He now said, I am your God. Basically, what he says is that, in case you think that this kind of word is not from me, I am your God. So basically, he's saying, I should be able to determine how your finances go. So, I am just saying that there are times where, let me say it to us this way. I believe God in terms of, God has done so many things for me that in COVID, lockdown, we were doing broadcasts. We did not put church account for any reason online. There was a week, the income that came to the church in a week was more than any anniversary. I'm not talking about any anniversary we have ever in inside COVID. So what I'm trying to say is that I believe in God to provide you for people. So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that, you know, yes, God does, and he will continue to do. But at times he will also tell you, tighten up your belt. So please let us also begin to know that if God says tighten my belt, I will not give. That's not what he said. It is inside the one that he has given you. There is. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So it is that, and even as a church, we will keep on tightening our belt as God gives orders and things that, because there's a lot to do. So you know, if you say ambassador, it's not a very top and things like all the anniversaries we've been doing till now. That's why we said that if you are going to give false anniversary, you do not tax people. If you're going to give to us anniversary, please label it anniversary. With your paying transfer, label it anniversary. Reason being, I do not know. But from the day one up till now, all the money that has come into the anniversary, after the anniversary, God will say, this is what every money that came into this anniversary, including the one you collect on that day, the one that people are giving, it goes to this place. And I'm talking to you as a time when God laid something in someone's mind during the anniversary, and they wanted to give. So they called someone. So they told me that. So they called someone and said they wanted to give somebody, but they needed to talk to me. I said, I don't understand why you have to talk to me to give. He said, no, because I said, okay. So the person, they called, they went to the person's house, they brought the brown envelope. And the person said, Pastor, this person brought some money and is a big, the envelope is quite things like that. I said, what did the person say the money is for? I said, when you were in the anniversary, God laid it in their mind that they should contribute towards the anniversary. I said, okay. I said, take the money, go and give it to this church. Said, sir, are we not going to check? I said, what is your home with checking? I did not say check. I said, whatever the money is, go and give it. That is the way, you know. So it doesn't matter. Hey, but you did not, you need to count it so that we can know. There's nothing to count there. As far as he said, God laid it in my heart in this service. No matter if you are bringing 1 million, he leaves this place. That is why we say that label it so that if God now says, oh yeah, every penny that came into the anniversary that is tagged towards anniversary. So basically what I'm saying is that all the anniversary that God has helped us to do is not that we've collected money to do anniversary. So that's what I'm just letting you know. So what I'm saying is that, and for us, for God to be raising this also to say it is time to begin to tighten your belt, that means that there's a lot for us to do. There's a lot for us to do. You know, there are ministries that God has helped us to, prison ministry and all those kind of things. You know, but it's important, you know, one thing I tell people is that you do not know how far what you're giving in here, how many lives that is touching. And it's not, you may not necessarily have to know. But what I keep saying is that God, okay, let me just say that. At least what God has helped us to contribute on a daily basis and things like that, you pay on the minimum about 6 people on mission field. That's allowance. There is no way that those ones will be working and God will not remember you. So, you know, there is a part of praying and the part of where the book of Psalms says, may the Lord remember all your offerings. So at times when you are carrying chair, and I said to people, don't worry. Let's go and look for something that we can. I said, yes. But see, everything that you are contributing to somebody's life. People that are in the front line of the gospel. That's what I just want to say. So all I'm just saying is that, so please, you know, Don't worry, you hit in adversity, or that Joshua is cooking up something in terms of music. So you know, you like Joshua don't say that. So they are already telling us that no, don't worry, God will. And we have people who are volunteering to cook for us. God bless them all, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So just wanted to just say that to us, that please, God sent you. I would advise that you do it even further, so that you know you learn to it's not God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, so just quickly, our topic is on Pentecost. Just wanted to start off. Can I have next? Please, God bless you. The Bible says that, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. So the Bible is saying that God has a place. God is, his intention is to work in you, but to fulfill his good purpose. So that means that God has a purpose. He has a desire. And he's trying to see how he can express, achieve his will through you. Amen. We are sitting up from that. Let's just go on, please. We have a couple of scriptures. You know, and the Bible was saying that there is a mystery. You know what is mystery? Things that is hidden. That few people understand that. So the Bible says that God has kept it from the generations before. He has not disclosed it to his own people. And when you see, when you hear that God is keeping a mystery, there is a mystery that even the prophet did not understand. And you will now discover that to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That will sound like Shotan. But it's that God is hiding something from generation to generation that they did not understand. Even the Bible says that angels are trying to find out. And they now say, what is that mystery? Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. You will say, that one. Just like that. You know, like, when we begin, so it is, but we are going, but I just want us to know that, you know, what I'm saying is that God is interested in sitting inside us as human beings. God is interested in, not that you have a feeling of God, he wants to sit inside you as a person. Let's go on, please. So, now, if God is sitting inside you, you know, bad example, God help me, but they used to say that there are some, you want to feed the arrow in your, what's it called? The worms in your, when you are eating. Say, the worms inside me are shouting, I need to feed them. So the Bible is saying, if Jesus is really sitting inside of you, there is a food he's always crying for. Does that make sense? So Jesus, then his disciples said to each other, could one have brought him food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. He now began to talk about an harvest. He was saying, now please note that it was after Jesus met the woman at the well. So what Jesus is saying is that my food is for souls to be won. So if I am sitting, we are still coming to Pentecost. What's all Pentecost about? Don't worry. We'll get there. It's so that we can understand Pentecost and not just shake and go home. So So the hunger, the way that God brings, there is an hunger in the heart of God, which he makes through you, which is for souls. But do you know why? Do you know one of the issues? You can be hungry and have a lot of distractions not to feel the hunger. Does that make sense? Let's go on, please. I saw this. 10 ways to cope without eating. So you listen to music, you relax. Read. Breathe deeply. Take yoga. Play cards with friends. Call friends. How many of us are, is the hunger of God inside of you? And there are so many things that distract. Okay, you are talking to somebody. Your mind is saying, talk to this person about Christ. You just quickly you find one answer, you don't look for something. It's okay, Jared, there's nothing, there's just only Christ. It's okay. And things like that. What is coming? Christ is coming out to say, I'm hungry. I need that soul. You're like, no, not here. Oh, you say, ah, my friend, let's go and watch, let's go to cinema. Sit down, you watch, you enjoy, you are trying, you, there are distractions that is not allowing the hunger to comfort. So it's not that Christ is not calling for food inside of you, but there are so many distractions that are more important that is taking your sight away from those things. So when they are saying that Christ is calling for calling hunger from within you, you say no. You know, me, I don't see God has not called me to all those kind of things. It is because you are so distracted that the hunger inside is not there. There are so many things that God is trying to do inside of you that you feel that, it can't be God. So what I'm trying to say is that if Christ is sitting inside of you, there is a food he has been calling for, and he brings you each time to the people, to the souls he wants to partake from. You meet them on a daily basis, but the distractions of the environment is distracting your hunger from fulfilling God's purpose. From fulfilling God's purpose. Let us go on, please. Now, the Bible says the glory, he said, a growing population is the king's glory. So that means that if you are trying to bring glory to a king, increase the population, take off. How does that apply to us? If I'm going to bring glory to Jesus, there is only one thing that brings glory to him. As his population, the people under his kingdom increase. Does this make sense to us? God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's come, please. Amen. Sorry, because I don't have my slides in front of me, that's why. Now, Paul said that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Not counting people's sin against them, but he has now committed the message of reconciliation to us. He now said, we therefore, as ambassadors, as Christ ambassadors, as though Christ is making an appeal through us. So that means that he's saying that it's as if as we are talking to you, Jesus is trying to reach out to you through us. So what they're saying is that God is as if you go to a driveway, a drive-through, you know, you are the car, and Jesus is trying to reach out to pick the food on the, but you know, the windows, you can wind up the windows. You know, when you have a child that is trying to put their hand into the food, and you quickly wind up the windows. So at times, it seems that Christ is within, trying to reach out, but There is this window that comes up. So he's saying that Christ is trying to make an appeal to us. Let us go, please. God bless you, man. Now, I want us to... There is... If Christ is inside of me and is trying to make an appeal, as Christ finds his food, there is a joy inside of me that connects. Because as Christ is smiling inside of me, I feel the joy. That is why when Jesus said, the disciples came back after evangelism, they said, the 72 returned with joy. And said, Lord, even the demons, and things again, you know, if they were subject to us, and things, let's go to verse 20. Jesus was saying to them, said, do not rejoice because the Spirit will submit to you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Now, the Bible says, at that time, Jesus was filled with joy. So, it was as if joy was moving back and forth. They had this joy inside them. But the reason why they had that joy inside them was because Jesus himself was filled with joy. Why? He found his food. So what Jesus was doing, he was making an appeal to them. He was making an appeal to them. Question, have you been winding up your window quickly? Whereby Jesus is saying, let us find appeal to this person. So, no, not here. Now, what I'm about to say, he to himself, as I will talk about, will tell you he's not a pastor. He too is on a journey to Christ. If you see him as a mentor, in what I'm about to say now, say, then you are an agbaya. Because as far as he's concerned, you came to Christ before he did. There was a lady, or there is a lady, actually. When she was in uni, she had a friend who was gay. And very flamboyant, everybody knew him on campus. And one day he came to her and he said, I'm no more gay, I'm a Christian, I found Christ. He said, what do you mean, no more gay? What's all of this? I said, no. She said, see, all these things that maybe they're just trying to put you down, and things like that. He said she now took him to a concert where there was this gay idol that was performing. And he said as they began to do some display on the podium, he turned his back in that. I said, this thing is extreme. I said, no. Now, she was a Christian. She was a Christian, but she fell into somebody brought them to America, and the man sexually abused her, who was using the name of God as, you know, God is, it is well with you, and things like that, you know. God is with us, God loves you, know, God knows that I have a true love for you. So as she grew up, she just walked away from Christianity. So when this guy came, I said, no, you are just, so cut long story short, she started working on private jets. They do private jet tours. So there was a tour that was coming up in North America. And it was a tour for Justin Bieber. So when she came on, they came on board. So of course she was like a waitress. So when they came on board and they were greeting everybody, Justin Bieber was greeting everybody. And after having a chat, things like that, next question I said, do you know Jesus? He was like, what kind of question is that? He said, she kind of won. He said, I'm not joking. I asked you a question. I said, do you know Jesus? She was like, this guy should not be asking this kind of question. He said, oh, he said, don't worry, I'll come back to you. And just went and was chatting. And things like that. So when the flight was already on her, you know, I went back to the side beside her and said, you know, he said, yes, I'm a Christian, and you know, I just, you know, this God thing, I just believe there's something spiritual. I'm a spiritual person. No, I didn't ask you, you're spiritual. And I said, do you know Jesus as the Lord and your Savior? And he said, you know what? I'll give you this. There's some Christian music, you know, I would love you to listen to. It's good. So when I listen to them, I feel at peace with God. I feel the Holy Spirit around me. Said, just go and listen to it. And he gave her a couple of, so she came, they went, they landed, he was doing his concert, and they came back home. And she said she didn't bother listening to it. So as soon as she came back online, the next day, when she came back, the next day when they were returning, he went back and I said, the music that I sent you, did you listen to them? He said, no, I didn't. That, you know, my phone was a bit bad. You know, how can you just be bad that you sent me some Christian music, I didn't listen to it? What I'm trying to say is that, of course, you know, he did his own bit and he left her that, but she bought a Bible. And she was thinking of going ahead to start to read it and things like that. But she was still postponing it until when she went, she was trying to organize a birthday party for her husband. And when she was running, she fell, she tore and things like that. So she couldn't walk. So she was bedbound with her Bible. So she had no choice. Start to read. That was how she met Christ. What I'm trying to say to you is this. Is not, that's why I said, if you listen to the Bible, say, I am still on the journey of Christianity. I am looking up to people. But what I will tell you is that if I meet you in any place, I will let you know. I too am on my journey. But this world that we are in, you to come and join us on this path. Does that make sense? God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So you will see that there is a joy you receive as a result of that. Let's come on, please. And Jesus was talking about that, you know, there is joy in heaven for everyone that when a sinner repents. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus. So now let's move on, please. How does God transport himself into a human being? How does he live into you, in you as a person? And the Bible says that, it says the spirit of truth that the world cannot accept because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and you would, he lives with you and will be in you. Now let's just go to the last verse there. He says, on that day, that means that the day the Holy Spirit resides inside of you, he said, you will realize. That means that you can be going around with the deposit of the Spirit inside of you and not be aware. He said, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Are you so distracted that you have not realized that God is actually sitting inside of you? God is actually sitting inside of you. Let's go on. Now, when Jesus was sending his disciples out to do evangelism, he said to them, go, and the Bible says he gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick. So basically, and we will begin to look at this issue around power, but it's important that we got the link that God is trying to cry out to you, but the first thing he does is that he deposits himself by the Holy Spirit inside of you. By the Holy Spirit inside of you. Let's just complete. Now, there is a process as the Holy Spirit is trying to reach new levels inside you as a Christian. Okay, let me say this way. What I'm trying to say is that when a baby girl is born, she's a woman already. It's just as she needs to develop as she comes into that level. Does that make sense? So what I'm trying to say is that when he said that I am laboring in pain until Christ is completely and permanently formed within you, he did not say Christ is not in you. He's saying that we need to get to a point where the growth of Christ within you begins to come to a point where he's fully grown inside of you. Does that make sense? So God is inside of you, but there is a process of letting it come to fullness inside of a human being. And he calls it labor pains. We're not talking bad about, we just wanted to, let's just go on, please, God bless you. Now, this is where we are. We're drawing a bit closer as we just put this to one side. The Bible says when Jesus when this returned and they reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Now, this is that Jesus has resurrected. The Bible says later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them, that he told them off, for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. Their stubborn refusal to believe to those who had seen him after he had risen. He now said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel. What I'm first of all going to say is this. Jesus had taught people for 3 years or 3.5 years. After that, the Bible said that their unbelief was not small. It was a stubborn one. And after Jesus told them off, he now said, okay, go and preach the gospel. If you were with Jesus, what would you say? Say, Sam, maybe you did not understand how stubborn these people are. They are a chronic unbeliever. How are you going to hand over ministry to the hand of somebody that you thought for 3 years, Kobo, you now gave a word of encouragement and now say, okay, take ministry and go and do. You would say, I will not do it. But the question I'm asking is that what made Jesus be so confident that even when these people are still dancing here, dancing there, I can leave them in the hands of the Holy Spirit? They will get it. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. The Bible says they had stubborn refusal to believe. Rather than Jesus saying, okay, let us do another 3 years program for you. Jesus just told them off, and the next thing he said, oh yeah, go and preach. But before then, he told them, said, before you go, go to the upper room. There is something that we need to deposit inside of you in such a way that this stubborn stubborn refusal will be dealt with. Does that make sense? Because this man, if you have taught somebody for 3.5 years and they now come back not only questioning, but you know there is a questioning and there is a stubborn questioning. That is because whatever you are saying, have you met those people before? You go here, they go there. They go here, you go there. At this, you just say, excuse me, just no way. Whatever you have said is okay. It's okay. Just go. The Bible calls them stubborn, but Jesus said, after Jesus said, go on, don't worry, just go. Let's go on, please. And the Bible says, after the Lord had spoken this to them, he was taken up to heaven. And the Bible verse says, then the disciples went around everywhere preaching, and the Lord was working with them. So, what changed between being a stubborn, an unbeliever, to become the one that Jesus was not encouraging? You know that Jesus was following them around and saying, hey, all this appeared to me for 5 minutes. No, there was nothing like that. That event in between 13 and 14 and 20 is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost made stubborn unbelievers become the one where they were ready to lay down their life. Let's complete. That's why the Bible says that he was saying, I said, you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the world. Let's go on, please. I just want to show something before we go. Now, this is a believer. But when the Holy Spirit resides and is activated between a believer, this is what they become. Now, please, do you know that this one has already the ability to become this? There is nothing that you are not going to really create this one. What I'm trying to say to us is this. As a believer, you already have the ability inside of you. That is why I love the way the Amplified called it ability. So it's already residing inside. So this were the disciples when they were saying, this kind of thing, we don't really, it just happens. But by the time the Holy Spirit filled them up, the impact was different. But what I'm trying to first of all say to us is that as a believer, the ability to become this is already inside of you. You don't need to acquire any other futures yet to become that. All the ability is already residing. That's why when Jesus finished with them and they were still arguing, he said, no. What you need is the infilling of the Holy Spirit in such a way that you will become, you will be looking and say, ah. Have you ever blown all these balloons and you are thinking, how can this balloon be so big as that? Because you pick up the balloon and say, ah, there's nothing inside this thing. But as they begin to pump it, you begin to see it come in different shapes. In fact, there are some balloons that you will not know their shape because of how little or tiny they are. But you know all those balloons that they blow into names. I don't know if you have seen, when you utter somebody's name and they blow to. When you see those balloons, you cannot differentiate. You know, it doesn't really stand up. But as they begin to blow it, you begin to see that balloon begins to take different shapes. And that was what happened to the disciples. As the Holy Spirit was being filled inside of them, the reality of what God called them became true. Amen. Let's just go on, please. Now, I just wanted to come back to that scripture that we read earlier. He said, but you shall receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Let me not bore you with a lot of, but the word power, and that's why I use the Amplified, it's talking about you can describe it at least in two dimensions. One is ability. Now, you can have the ability to jump a fence, but if you will not put that ability to work, you will not know you have that ability. Does that make sense? Now, the example I'm going to give is the crude oil. Can I have the crude oil? Or what I'm calling potential power. This is the crude oil at its very basic state. For every Christian, God has deposited is power in them. But as you begin to apply the heat, that is when you begin to find different levels of what you can get out of it. But a Christian can be saying, some people are using jets say jet diesel, jet kerosene, it's kerosene that they use for planes anyway. You know, he's saying that, you know, you need to, we need to come to a point where you have eaten it up to a point that it begins to rise. It is God's responsibility to give you the initial deposit. It is your job to begin to know how to eat it up, to come to different levels as it applies to different issues around you. Does that make sense? And this takes process. Those who are doing, you cannot just hit it from here to here, bam. But gradually, as they are working and applying it to it, at times also God uses situations to apply that heat so that it can come to a point where the thing that is needed for. Now, do you know that as it goes up, it becomes lighter? As it's going up, that's why the last one, you have gas. But the more the heat, the lighter it becomes. It begins to shed off certain things and it comes to another level. It sheds off certain things and it comes to another level. It sheds off certain things and things. And that is how, as you grow in your journey. Why? All I'm first of all saying is that what God deposited in the apostles was what is called a potential power, ability. So as they began to work it on, as they journey in their Christian walk, you began to see where Paul would say to somebody and say, we will come and visit you. He said, I want to be with you. He said that I may impact you with blessings and things like that. And Paul did not go to that church, Roman church, until 1 year or a year and a half later. And it was a blessing to them. How was Paul so guaranteed that, don't worry, I'll meet you in 2 years' time and we'll see, the power will still be at the same level? Are we together? So, I want you to know that as God is trying to, that is why the deposit of God, the first thing that he creates for is souls. That is why at the end of Pentecost ended in what? Souls coming in. Because the deposit of God inside of you, aside from making you a better person, the other thing he wants to do is to reach out for souls to come in. Amen. Now, so I just wanted us to know that, and there are ways as you begin to, one is as you journey in your prayer life. The Bible says as Jesus was praying, he was turning before them. Another way is through the word. As you are studying the word, you would be, the Bible says, as we look, beholding as in a mirror, as we are looking at, we are being changed from one level to another. Another practical way you will see in scriptures of tearing it up is evangelism. As you go out to put the work, to begin to speak about Jesus, as God begins to try to find an expression to you, the hitting begins to go up and up and up. May God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just go on, Jesus. We just... Another type of that power is what the dimension of that same power is what I would list, go to the next slide if I come to this, is what I call inherent power. Inherent means that once the Spirit is given to you, you don't have to go and get another one. So you don't use it finish and go back to, can I say, what I am saying is that, you know, when you go to your iOS, once you download, you accept the terms, you download, you can continue to use that version. You don't have to go to Apple and say, can Esa, I heard that a new iOS is down. Can I upgrade? As soon as you download it on your computer, or sorry, on your phone upgrades to that point. You do not need to physically go and be asking, no. Once it is downloaded, it is downloaded. How do we know this? Let's go to the side before, sir. Ma'am, no. The Bible says that Peter said to them, repent, change your old ways of thinking and turn from your sinful ways and accept and follow Jesus Christ as the Messiah. We baptize each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of sin, so that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He now said, for this promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children. So he's saying, it is already deposited for you. This is for you and your children. And for those who are far away, that means me also. He's saying that, but all you need to do is, Jesus said, come to me, all ye that thirst. And he said, out of me shall flow the rivers of living water. Sorry, out of them shall flow the rivers of living water. You know what Jesus did not say? Jesus did not say that, come to me and I'll give you water to drink. He didn't say that. He said, come to me, all ye that thirst. The next statement he says, out of them shall flow the water. Why? Because he is the water that you need to drink. He is the water that you need to drink. So on this day of Pentecost, are you, first of all, allowing the expression of God through you as God is calling out for souls? Or do you quickly wind up your window? But that deposit of God inside of you can only rise as you keep putting it to work. See, there is no, Joshua doesn't need to preach for God to use him to cast away demons. David, he was not preaching, he was keyboard, he was playing harps as evil spirit was going away. It is not the method you are, you don't need to have a particular gift. All you need to do is to stir up the gift of God in you on the gift he has given you. And you begin to see that one, there was a man, have you heard of, it's a man that preached, this is it's been very long ago, about a popular sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. If you read the history of that sermon, see, for someone to preach the sermon since 18th something and is still alive to today, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. That man, when he's coming to preach, everything he's going to say he writes poetry or whatever it is. Everything he's going to say, he's written it down. He does not say anything in the sermon outside what is written in that poetry. So this is how he preaches. He just goes, let us pray. And he just goes. That's how he does his preaching. And he's just reading it. And people in their seat were literally finding themselves at the gate of hell. People began to scream and cry, saying, God, I am unworthy. As he's reading it, he just, that's all he does. So this one that we are doing, he doesn't do that, he just stands and he's just reading. Either you are weeping, or somebody is crying, or somebody is finding themselves, somebody is screaming and saying, or somebody is seeing God in his holiness, and they are laying down before the floor and weeping and saying, God, I am so unworthy before you. All he's doing is just reading. And after I finish reading, he closes his mouth. I say, let us pray. If you cannot stand up, it's okay. God bless all of you. Come, let's speak. At least I can. And his sermon is till from the 18th century till now, it is being said, sinners in the hands of an angry God. whereby people were holding to pillars because they felt like they were going to drop into hell. It was so, you know, when people come into open vision as a church, individually. So people, you will just enter the church, people will be screaming. But he doesn't take his face away, just all he's reading is that. But as he's reading it, God is transporting them to the realities of what he's saying. But what has he done? God has helped him to keep steering, eating it up. It doesn't matter. He doesn't need to look for a gift or somebody that shouts. All he just needs, see, the idea of maybe if I try another style of gift, maybe God will know that is no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There was a time in the church, a lady came in, and the lady was saying that there is someone that I think normally beats, I don't know what they beat, maybe shekel or something like, or maybe a tambourine, yeah, it was tambourine. It was as if that when that person is beating that tambourine, it's as if that the Holy Spirit is in, I don't know how best to put it, but what I'm just saying in bottom line is as we close, is that as we pray and we seek the face of God, it doesn't matter what avenue the Holy Spirit walks through, all that matters is that you receive the baptism in such a way and is steered up to a point that it can have access no matter what it is that you are doing. What was Stephen doing when he began to do miracles? The Bible says he was serving food. Food, that's what he was serving. Can you imagine serving food to somebody who has cancer and say, mommy, please, sir, hey, sir, please take this food. God bless you, sir. And as they are eating it, something begins to happen inside of them. And that is what happened. And everybody began to give at the kitchen of Stephen. People will say, what is in that food? Somebody, I had a problem that day as I sat down to eat that food. You will say, what is in it? Is it not food? Now, if Stephen were now to be a great, anointed today, let us now move our ministry to something else. God grant us, let us rise, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.